Matthew chapter 19. Now this is where Jesus is confronted with the question of divorce. And I want to tell you that there are few human experiences more devastating and generationally impacting than divorce. Now, I believe that any one of you, whether you're married, whether you're divorced, whether you're unmarried, I think your greatest fear, if you are married, if you're divorced, if you plan to be married, your greatest fear is divorce. Divorced people that are sitting in this room, I guarantee, will tell you that divorce is one of the most traumatic experiences on earth. As a matter of fact, divorce has the same or similar impact on a human as death. Because divorce is a death. And we know when someone dies, you go through grieving. And grieving the death of someone cannot be explained to anybody unless you've gone through it. And divorce is a death. Divorce is the dying of a person. Someone has died out of your life. And so the trauma, the emotional experience, the chemical changes, the psychological impact, the distress, the fear, the anger, the bitterness, and the sense of loss are the same or similar as if a person died. Divorce can take place on different levels. Some of you who have never been married, you've gone through the experience of divorce. And what that means is that you have given yourself to someone at a certain level of emotional attachment, and then something went wrong with the relationship. Maybe you were engaged to be married, or you were with a man or woman for several years, and it didn't work, and you went through a difficult tearing of that relationship. So you have some kind of experience with what divorce feels like. As I said, divorce can take place on different levels. All you need is a relationship that has been built on the soul level where there are soul ties. And if that is broken up, it's like a divorce. I mean, you can be divorced as friends. I mean, you can have a friend 10, 15, 20 years, and all of a sudden, something goes wrong, and the relationship falls apart. You don't speak anymore, and it is traumatic to you. See, the experience is what I'm talking about. Now, the difference with those friends is you don't have sex with those friends, so you don't go to the ultimate intimacy, but you do get intimate with your friends. And if you think about the things you've done together, what you've been through together, you can't believe that this thing has fallen apart. It's the same experience, except with marriage, you've gone to the ultimate intimacy, and that is sexual surrender. And some people, listen, some people still suffer the impact of divorce years later in another marriage. They are still carrying those hidden hurts. And you know why? You know why? Because you and I were not built for divorce. See, there's nothing in our body to handle the trauma of a divorce. We call it a broken heart. There's no medication for broken hearts. Pills can numb the pain and numb your nerves. If you go to a psychiatrist because of the trauma of divorce, they will give you uppers. And then when they make you too high, they will give you some downers. So you kind of end up a drug addict, something to make you sleep, something to keep you up. Why? Why? Because they can't really solve the problem of a broken heart. According to God, there's only one way to solve a broken heart. And Jesus said it in Luke chapter 4 when he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." That means that the broken heart is such a unique and rare experience in life that God himself, only God himself, has to come personally and heal it. If God don't heal you of a broken heart that comes from a divorce or a death, you will never be healed completely. There will always be this quiet, lingering pain and anger and distress and this quiet bitterness and grief. And it goes on for a long time unless God heals you personally. People run around, they smile, they get married again, but there's still this thing on the inside. Even in the new marriage, there is a fear that it might happen again because the pain is still there. Now, why are we talking about divorce? Because these verses, look at these verses. Verse 3. Some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" Now, what are they talking about? Divorce. What's divorce again? What's divorce again? One of the most traumatic human experiences. Let me tell you, anyone who gets married doesn't want a divorce. You don't come to the altar thinking about divorce. You don't hope to get a divorce when you get married. The last thing on your mind is divorce, and yet it happens. The statistics are horrible. 52% of all marriages end up in divorce. And that's not just in the world, that's in the church also. So we got a 50-50 chance, according to those statistics, to make it in a marriage. And you would think, okay, well, if I got divorced and I got married again, well, the statistics should be better, shouldn't they? We should have learned something. The statistics should be better. But 66% of second marriages end up in divorce. That means one in every three second marriages end up in divorce. Well, let's try number three. You think the third time around, the statistics have to be better. No. 73% of third marriages end up in divorce. So watch the question. Watch the question. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? Now watch. What did Jesus do with the question? Now, here is his answer. Watch this. Watch his answer. The question is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? Watch Jesus' answer. "Haven't you read," he replied, "that at the beginning," in the beginning, go back to the beginning, at the beginning, "the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate." Jesus says, you guys are talking about divorce, but what you don't understand is this problem that you call divorce is not a problem. It is a symptom of a deeper problem. Jesus basically ignores the question. They asked him about divorce. His answer says, "Haven't you read from the beginning? At the beginning, the Creator made them male and female." He says, fellas, the problem is not divorce. It's deeper than that. The problem is male and female. He says the problem, the material you're using in marriage isn't what the Father originally intended in the beginning. He said the problem with your relationships falling apart is that the elements, the ingredients, the elements of the relationship are contaminated. He's saying that they are not the beginning, male and female, what I intended in the beginning. So, listen, male and female is more important than marriage. If you got a divorce problem, listen, you got to work the equation backwards. If you got a divorce problem, something is wrong with the marriage. And if there's something wrong with the marriage, you got to work the equation backwards. If there's something wrong with the marriage, then something is wrong with the male and the female. If you can't solve it there, then you got to go work the equation even back further. There's something wrong with the female. There's something wrong with the male. There's something wrong with the individual female, the individual male. See, this whole thing, listen, has to do with individuals, not marriage. See, marriage is like a cake. You ever been in a cookbook and you see those pictures of just those beautiful, luscious cakes on this side of the page? You know, fantastic icing, beautiful cakes. One slice is cut out, just want to make your mouth drool. That's on this side of the page. Then on the other page, on the other side of the page, is a whole bunch of writing. Now, we don't even look at the writing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We don't look at the writing. We enjoy the picture. And the picture looks so perfect and so good. And the people who wrote the book and edited the book said to you that on the other page, that if you follow these instructions, with these amounts of ingredients, you will have the picture. And that's how relationships are. We always have this picture. I mean, everybody in this room got a picture. And the problem is, we ain't reading the page where the recipe is. So, see, the cake comes from the page you don't like. See, we keep claiming the picture, church. We walk to the altar in our white dress and tuxedos, and we got this crazy picture in our minds about the perfect relationship with this home, taking walks in the evening, eating together, jogging together, playing games together, going to the beach together, having kids, going to Disney World, all this great picture in your mind, but listen, you're not reading the ingredient page. You don't hear what I'm saying. You know what makes us depressed? The picture ain't coming out. So listen, forget the picture. We don't want to deal with the picture. We want to deal with the ingredients. 10 teaspoons of this, 1 cup of this, a dash of that. We got to find out what makes up this picture. People were saying to Jesus, "Jesus, the cake fell. Divorce. The cake collapsed. Christ says it ain't the cake." Don't blame the cake. You got to go back to the beginning and study the ingredients, male and female, and see what did you put in this cake when you mixed it. Because the cake, listen, the cake will only be as good as what you put in it. It goes back to male and female. That's what Jesus is saying. Go back to the beginning. Go back to male and female. Haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female. He ain't even talking about divorce. He's not even answering the question. And said, for this reason, and we got to find out what reason. What reason? For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they no longer are two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Now, when he says, what God has joined together, let no man separate, Let me tell you something. Coming to a church building and standing before a pastor does not guarantee that God put it together. Because we have to go back to the beginning, listen, and see what God actually does put together. So you got to understand, what is it about a female and a male that I better know before I mix this cake? I said, you're not getting it, are you? Getting way ahead of me. See, you're too impatient. You're still looking at the picture. What is it about a female or a male that I better know before I mix this cake? See, we have to go back and study the beginning, male and female, the individuals, the ingredients, and see what we can learn. And we're only going to scratch the surface with that today. Now, marriage, listen, marriage, male and female, is God's product. And only God knows how to make it work. It's just like the picture of the cake. God says, this is my product. And on the other page is the ingredients, the recipe. And you know what we keep doing? We keep demanding the picture and telling God, let me play with the recipe a little bit. He says, you got to go back to the beginning and get the recipe he laid down at the beginning so you can have the picture that he guarantees at the end. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, Jesus has taught us a fundamental lesson here that if we are ever going to be able to deal with the symptom of divorce, we have to go back to the beginning and study the male and female. In the beginning, we got to study the ingredients and see what we are missing. Because we have some erroneous conceptions about many things. And one of the biggest things we have an erroneous conception about is the word single. And some of the things that I'm going to say to you, you probably never heard before, and they may even shock you. But I want you to really get the revelation of what I'm saying today, because we are trying to keep you out of the divorce court and give you better odds to have a successful, fulfilling relationship. Amen? Now, years ago, I was watching a video of a famous minister and his wife, and they were hosting a conference, and they had one of the best marriages you ever wanted to see. It was like a model marriage. They had been happily married for 25 years, and he starts out the conference with him and his wife on the stage, and his opening statement was this. Now, listen carefully. His opening statement was this. He said, the best people in the world are single people, and that is why I am still single. I'm thinking, what is he talking about? He's married 25 years and happily married. This is what he said. He said, the best people in the world are single people, and that is why I am still single. I'm like, what in the world is he talking about? What is he saying? And then he went on to say, standing next to him was his wife, and he said, and standing next to me is the most single woman I've ever met, and that's why I married her. I'm confused. What is he talking about? Over the next year, I began to discover what he was talking about. Because what does it mean to be single? Most people would say it means you're not married, you're a second-class citizen, and it's a state I don't really like. But the word single, listen, the word single means to be separate, unique, and whole. Listen, it means to be separate, unique, and whole. You look in any dictionary, it means to be separate, unique, and whole. So if single or being single or singleness means to be separate, unique, and whole, would you ever stop being a whole or unique person? Would you ever stop? Would you ever stop moving towards that? I mean, would you like to lose your identity? Of course not. So what is the problem with singleness? See, the problem is with our cultural definition and with all the connotations and stigma the word has. Will there ever be a time, and has there ever been a time, where you will cease to be separate, unique, and whole? Is there? Should there ever be a time when you cease to be a single being who is unique and whole? Now, if your answer is no, then the next question is, does getting married do away with this definition of single, of being single? Does it? When you marry, do you stop being a single individual who is unique and whole? Yes or no? If a state of singleness means to be unique and whole, listen, then to be totally single should be your number one goal. In fact, I'll go as far as to say this. No matter how young or old you are, or even if you're divorced and want to marry again, I'll go as far as to say this. Until you are a separate, unique, whole person, you may not be ready to marry, if that's your desire. See, marriage counselors will tell you, Christian, secular, marriage counselors will tell you that at least 80% of marital problems arise because a husband or wife or both has not seen themselves as unique, worthy individuals. For example, they have a bad self-image, or they're schizophrenic in some way and not whole, or they are not separate. What does separate mean? Separate means I don't have to always depend on some other person to make me happy. Until you are truly single, even if you are in a marriage, until you are truly single, listen, marriage will be difficult and perhaps a negative experience. Now, I didn't say independent, because in all relationships, you're not supposed to be independent or totally dependent or codependent. You are to be interdependent. Interdependency on one another. Listen, your marriage will get better as you become more single, according to that definition. That's why I don't call divorced people, oh, they're singles again, single again. No, you're now unmarried because you may not have never been single, according to that definition. Are you following me? If you go back to the beginning, you want to understand this divorce problem. Go back to the beginning, male and female. Listen, God began the human family with one single human being, not a couple. Not a couple. There are 6.7 billion people on this earth, and God only made one from the soil. All of God's instructions were not given to a couple. It was only given to one. God created one human being, put that one human being in the garden, told that one human being in Genesis 2, verse 15, to work, cultivate, protect, guard, and keep this garden. One person. He told that one person to have responsibility for the planet, and that one person got all the information, the instruction, and the directives. Now, after that, then in verse 18, he says, it's not good for that one person to be alone. Now, did God say it is not good for the man to be single? No. He said it's not good for the man to be alone. God had no problem with the man's separateness, uniqueness, or his wholeness. As a matter of fact, listen, Adam did not even know he was alone. You don't get that. Because God said, it wasn't Adam, God said. God's statement was predicated on his own observation of the situation, on his own wisdom. So the implication is that Adam was totally unique and so whole. He was so together, so separate, and so complete in himself, he didn't know he was alone. Having a companion was not Adam's idea. It was God's idea. Now, another thing that you need to see is that Adam did not need a wife, because God did not say, Adam is not a whole being, so I'm going to make a wife to complete him. He didn't say that. He said that I'm going to make him a helper who will be compatible or suitable like him. He didn't say, I'm going to make a wife to complete him. And I'm going to tell you something. Most people, man or woman, get married to try and bring wholeness to their person. When you marry, it is supposed to bring wholeness and completeness, listen, to your purpose. Big difference. Now, you don't hear that. Come on. Because you don't believe it. Most people get married to try to bring wholeness to their person without ever thinking about wholeness to their purpose. When the Bible says, I will make a helper suitable, or the King James says, help meet, it is to bring wholeness and completeness in purpose. Help meet means to bridge gaps, to cause accomplishment. Help meet implies meeting purpose and destiny and vision. The Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. We could say, where there is no vision, no destiny or purpose, a relationship perishes. So two people come together to complete purpose, to complete vision, to complete destiny. So God didn't say, I'm going to make Adam is not a whole being. I'm going to make him a wife to complete him. No, God said, I'm going to make him a helper who will be compatible or suitable or like him. See, another being who will complement him and be complemented by him. The marriage came down a few verses later. See, we put the marriage in verse 18 when it's not there. Verse 18 simply tells us of God's intention to create a second human being. Now, in verse 22, can we put Genesis up? You got it. Thank you. In verse 22, Moses wrote that God made the woman from Adam's rib and presented her to the man. Now, what we need to understand, church, is that God made a second human being, not just for Adam to marry, but in order that he would not be alone. So you don't have to marry in order to not be alone. All you need to not be alone is to have some other human beings as companions or close friends. See, a lot of people are not married and yet are not alone. Marriage was not instituted, as you can see from God's attitude in Genesis 2, to solve the problem of being alone. Human beings were created as an answer to that problem. God presented Eve to Adam, and he said, okay, Adam, now it's up to you. You choose. You know, there is a myth, and it's a big myth, in the church too. I've heard this myth preached, that there's only one person on the planet for you. Only one. So listen, church, your odds are 1 in 6 billion that you will find that right one. It just sounds stupid saying it, doesn't it? No, in regard to choosing a lifetime mate, you've got to understand that you have the power of choice to exercise among many individuals that life will present to you. And life presents to you depending on your purpose in life, depending on the path you walk down, depending on the choices you make or the path you take. So God presents Eve to Adam. In other words, at first, he did not give Eve to Adam as a wife. He presented Adam with a companion just right for him. Eve was not created primarily as a wife, but as another like Adam who would first be a companion and then later a wife. See, all you need not to be alone is to find someone like you. You don't need to marry all of them or any of them in order not to be alone. You just need to be companion with some of them. And see, this is where we make a mistake. Listen to me. Listen. We think marriage will solve our aloneness. That's what we think. And marriage will not solve your aloneness. Because, listen, many people are married now, and their marriages are not working, and you know what? They pray to get free. They sleep in separate rooms or back to back. They operate with constant tension in the home. And listen, marriages like that create more aloneness. And it's miserable. Let me tell you, it's like living in hell. Somebody should have said amen. When God said it was not good for Adam to be alone, there's three foundational definitions of alone. It is not good for Adam to be all in one. It is not good for Adam to be isolated. It is not good for Adam to be in a solitary state. God did not say it was not good for man to be unique, separate, and whole. You know, God likes uniqueness so much, church, that he didn't allow any two human beings of all the billions who have lived on this planet, he didn't allow any two human beings to have identical fingerprints. That's how much God likes uniqueness. There are other things about humans that can never be replicated. Your eye retina pattern cannot be replicated in any other human. Your DNA can't be replicated in any other human. That's how much God likes uniqueness. So my conclusion is that God not only likes uniqueness, separateness, and wholeness, but he insists on it in his creation. It is vital, church, for you and I to understand this, that being single, being separate, unique, and whole, being single is essential to, and it's the foundation of marital relationships. And not only marital relationships, but all relationships. Because a relationship is only as good as whatever the individual involved brings to it. Now look, if you're able to catch hold of this revelation of the difference between being single and being alone, you will never again despise the state of being unmarried, and you will never again encourage people to marry for the wrong reason. The church today is suffering from confusion among young and old, among divorced and widowed, and those who are unhappily married because of a misunderstanding of this concept. Singleness is a state to be pursued, not avoided. To be single should be the goal of every married person, separate, unique, and whole. It should be the goal of every married person. The primary thing that you need to understand from Scripture is that when God observed that it was not good for Adam to be alone, when God observed that, when God said that, Adam was totally whole. Adam was totally whole. He was totally unique and totally separate. And Eve was taken out of him. That's how holy he was. He didn't even know he needed someone else. He didn't even know. After God gives this man instructions, after God gave him all the instructions and the directives, and then God said, it is now not good for man to be alone. It is now not good for man to be all in one, isolated, solitary. So where did God go to get the other one? He went on the inside. Isn't that amazing? He didn't go outside and make something. He didn't go up to heaven and bring something down. He said, everything is inside you. Everything that God calls for, church, everything God calls for is in the thing that he's talking to. So whatever God is telling you to do, you don't have to look outside of yourself. It's trapped inside. Now watch this. Watch this. God did not go inside and get another body. Listen, God did not go inside and get another body until that one body was in fellowship with him, understood his purpose, understood his assignment, and understood his vision. So in other words, this is what God really said. He said, it is not good for man to be alone if he is single. You don't get that. Why? See, when you're truly single, you're really ready to give to somebody else. When you're truly separate, unique, and whole, you are ready to give to somebody else. If you don't know how much of a single person you are, how much are you going to give to somebody else? Some people believe that when you marry, as I said, you've solved the problem of being alone. I'm going to tell you, church, some of the loneliest people in this world are in marriages. Listen to me. Loneliness is magnified when you marry if you are not unique, separate, and whole, or if your spouse is not. Y'all are so quiet. Loneliness is magnified when you marry if you are not unique, separate, and whole, or if your spouse is not. And listen to me, church, there is no one so alone as a lonely married person. Because he or she is trapped. And the feeling of being trapped, listen, magnifies the loneliness. So if you're going to be lonely, it's much safer to be lonely unmarried. Many people have thought and still think, listen, that marriage is the key to happiness. But becoming whole and finding your real uniqueness is the real key to happiness. And listen, it is also the key to better marriages. We should be going after the goal of being single, separate, unique, and whole. And if you have married on the way to this, do not stop seeking the goal. Listen, because marriage will show you how unsingle you really are. Oh, you don't hear me on that. Come on. Are you catching this? You can't find out who you are in another person. You can't. You can't find out who you are in another person. You gotta find that in God. And if Christ is in you, if we hold this treasure in earthen vessels, you got to find out who you are and your identity within yourself. You can't find it out from another person. And many women and men are so busy looking for someone to be all things to them, they don't have time to be who they are. If you are preoccupied looking for someone to be all things to you, you will have nothing to give to them. Adam was so consumed with enjoying life in the Garden of Eden and fulfilling his purpose, God had to tell him it is not good for him to be alone. And then he was ready to give up his aloneness for togetherness with someone else who was separate, unique, and whole. Your marriage, listen, your marriage will only be as successful as your singleness. Because you can only bring to a marriage what you are as a person alone. That's all you bring. That's all you bring. Nothing magical changes at the altar. Beneath the tuxedo and the dress, nothing changes. Listen, ladies, if he was lazy before he married you, you're taking home a lazy man. Nothing changes at the altar. If she was stingy before you married her man, you're taking home a stingy woman. Nothing changes at the altar. Mm-mm-mm. Your marriage will only be as successful as your singleness. Now, let me show you something that we miss in the Great Commandment. In Matthew 22, it says, I'm not used to y'all being so quiet. I'm scared, a little scared up here. You are just so intense on me today. Matthew 22 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now watch this. Watch this. When it says the second is like it, it means the second is the same as the first. It's on the same level. They go together. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love other people as you love yourself. Or in the same way you love yourself, love others. Now here's what we miss. That means the key is loving you, not other people. Because listen, you can only love other people to the extent that you accept and love yourself. See, we miss this in the Great Commandment. And church, I'm not talking about self-centeredness or self-love or pride or selfishness. Christians get all upset. You're talking about self-love. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm telling you what the commandment says, and that we have missed this in the commandment. And I'm not talking about thinking you're better than other people. That's not loving yourself. It's covering up hate. You know why we judge and criticize all the time? Because we are really thinking badly of ourselves, so we are trying to build ourselves at somebody else's expense. I am talking about finding out who you are in Christ and as a person made in the image of God, and then coming to terms with that person. Loving yourself. Because you can't give any love to others if you don't love yourself. Knowing who you are is the first step toward wholeness, and then accepting that person is the second step. Church, I don't know how many times I've heard the story that after 10, 15, 20 years of marriage, one of the partners wants a divorce because they don't know who they are anymore and they have lost their identity in another person. Now they don't know who they are. See, you didn't form an identity together. You lost your identity in someone else's. And 15, 20 years down the road, when you have no identity at all and you feel lost, you say, I want a divorce because I don't know who I am. See, and when you have two whole people come together, his identity complements hers, and her identity complements his, and they become one new identity without losing who they are. You don't lose your identity when you enter into marriage. You don't lose who you are. Who you are complements who the other person is. It enhances the other person. It brings value to the other person. When I get someone in front of me who wants to marry, my first question is, what do you add to this person's life? Are they going to be better for marrying you? They ought to be better because they married you. There are many, many troubled marriages that you're going to find when you dig deep, that those marriages are made up of two self-haters trying to love one another. You dig deep. If you're getting married, listen to me. If you're getting married to be completely fulfilled and to make up for the love you don't have for yourself, you are in trouble. You are in trouble because the very thing that makes you need to get married, listen, will become the problem in the marriage. Amen. Church, this is serious business. I'm saying, you got a 50-50 shot to not end up in divorce. That tells me that a radical change of thinking is needed. And that's why, church, we've got to get rid of the religiosity and superficiality out of church and get real and talk about real issues. Jesus did, listen, when they asked Jesus about divorce, he said, fellas, divorce is just a symptom. Forget divorce. You got to go back to the beginning and study the male and female and study the ingredients, and you will get the answers. Amen? But you got me all riled up, and I got to quit. Amen. Clap your hands if you got something this morning. Whew. We're going to continue, listen, to go back to the beginning. We got to go, we haven't even covered that. We got to go back to the fall and find out the consequences of the fall and how it has affected the male and the female. We got a lot to cover. I don't know when we're going to get back to this. April, May? I don't know. But we got to get to it. Everybody say single.
Single.
Say it again.
Single.
Separate.
Separate.
Unique.
Unique.
And whole.
And whole.
Now listen. How many in here? How many in here now, whether you're married or unmarried, how many in here are going to make it your goal to be single? Let me see your hands. Amen. How many understand? Listen. How many understand that your marriage will be better the more single you become? How many understand that? And listen to me, church. How many understand that you will have so much more to give the more single you become? How many understand that? Come on, if you believe it, clap your hands. If you believe it. Amen. God bless you this morning. I'm going to ask Angel and the team to just take us out of here in jubilee. Stand to your feet. Let's praise God and let's become single.